The Baptist Church, glad you could join us this evening. We're having a current event night, and we're going to be taking a look at the Harrison Butker's commencement address. And if you're listening from Maranatha, I really encourage you to listen to that podcast or that commencement speech. You type in H-A-R in Google, and Harrison Butker comes up. All right, so you don't have to do much. I would really encourage you, if you're listening right now, and you've not listened to the commencement speech, hit the pause button on YouTube or the podcast. Go listen to it. It's going to be recorded. You're not going to miss any of the discussion because it's really going to make more sense to you if you hear it. It's 20 minutes long. It's nothing drastic. And he, for being a non-professional speaker, he keeps it moving. You're not going to be bored, and it's not like, come on, guy, move on. He'll keep it going, and I've encouraged you as well for a multitude of reasons, one of them being people have always asked, not always, but frequently I get questions about Catholic theology and doctrine. This is a good recording to listen to because he will explain it himself on some key issues, which we will talk about a little bit later on in our discussion tonight. So the way I want to approach it, we're going to look at this proverb here in a moment. We're going to approach it from how I found out about the commencement speech. Then we're going to break down the commencement speech. He addresses really a couple of issues. Number one, the Catholic Church. Well, back up. He addresses, number one, the current administration, then individuals within the Catholic Church, then men, then women, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about the theology that he brings up. Okay, so four topics that should help us along. And before we begin, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dive into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great and amazing love towards us. Thank you for your amazing grace that is bestowed upon us and grants us our salvation, for which we are eternally grateful. Lord, we pray that we would always be your stewards and speak up for you no matter what the cost. And Lord, as we talk about these issues tonight, Lord, I pray that we would grow in our understanding and utilize the appropriate information in the appropriate ways. Thank you for your goodness, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so to get us started, and this has to do with how I heard about this commencement speech, but Proverbs 18:13, it says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him." This is one of my favorite parental proverbs because this is one area in which I, as I look back, messed up as a father. When our children, we would have to discipline the boys mostly. I shouldn't have laughed. Anyhow, they would say, especially one of them in particular, "I didn't do that. The other ones did." And it's like, nah. And come to find out, yeah, he was right. He didn't do it. And the other ones did. If I would have just listened to him, he probably would have had a easier childhood in some respects. But when you're a professional on the radio, and I'm referring to a Christian radio station out of Cleveland, the regular host was gone, and there are usually four co-hosts every morning, and there's one in particular who leads it, and then there's three other ones that kind of fill in. Well, the regular guy was gone. They had fill-ins. And they said, "Next up, we're going to talk about this commencement speech that's stirring all kinds of controversy." And so it's a radio station, but they also have a YouTube channel so you can watch them. So when I got back to the church, I didn't listen to it on the radio. I went to the YouTube and I watched them. And I could see the young lady pull out two little stacks of paper. Like if you had to print something out, like a story, clipped it. It looked like she had two sheets. And so you can see her turning the sheet, pointing out these highlights. And after a while, it became apparent she did not listen to the podcast or to the commencement speech. She was reading highlights off of articles. Okay. And not only their big claim to fame is they do a lot of the previous current event topics I get from that radio station, because they'll bring it up and I'm like, oh, that's interesting topic. And I'll do a little more research on it. It was apparent that she had two articles and trying to come from the Christian perspective. And she said, and this is from NBC News. And I thought, really? What Christian perspective do you think NBC News is going to come from? And so that was getting me more and more fired up. And I thought, what did this guy, because they didn't necessarily, this is a Christian Moody Radio. They didn't, I wouldn't say rip the guy, but they, you would have thought, I was left with the impression this guy said something horrendously bad. So I better listen to it. Well, Terry and I were able to, on our way to Ben and Michelle's, listen to it. And I thought, I don't see what he said was so, theologically, didn't agree with things. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But as far as throwing up some great controversy, I thought, what did he say? So I thought, I must have misunderstood Moody Radio. So I went back and I rewatched that particular day. Well, in the meantime, they must have gotten so much flack for what they said, they had to have a follow-up the next day. And so I rewatched the original one, and I thought, no, you said exactly what I thought you said. And then they had a follow-up, and they tried to smooth it out, but in the process of trying to smooth it out, they dug a deeper hole. The point being, if you're going to debate somebody or talk about a particular item that's of controversy and interest, it's best to hear the whole thing in the original than start reading excerpts from news organizations. I know even after the second day, after they must have got ripped, she had not listened to it because she said it's a 15-minute speech. And I'm like, no, it's not. And even the guest host said, no, it's 20 minutes. So she still hadn't listened to it. Well, don't get up and rip a guy for saying something when you don't know how he said it and what context he said it. And so that's why I have this proverb up here. It's very helpful, and it comes in handy. If you haven't heard the matter from the horse's mouth, as we sometimes say, then it's best not to make too many comments about it. And I always preface these current event nights when we talk like trad wives, and I always tell you guys, I can't do an exhaustive study. I don't have that kind of time, but I try to look as much as I can, and especially I try to get the other side's point of view to make sure I'm understanding, trying to understand both from all directions. So that's the first thing. The second thing that you need to know is what we call a presupposition. And I'll just read the definition of a presupposition. A presupposition is something that you assume to be true. And I bring that up because in one of her hands was a commentary from NBC News. And whoever wrote that from NBC News has a presupposition, something they assume to be true. And in this case, it was about women. That's the part of the article most of the people brought up, was the women aspect. They have a presupposition. They're going to approach it from a particular point of view, are they not? And you need to know that. And I bring it up not just for journal articles, but if I'm reading a commentary, I look at who that author is. I look at his background. Is he Calvinistic? All right. Then I want to know that, because when I get to certain passages, he's going to take a particular point of view. Is he replacement theology? Has the church replaced Israel? I want to know that, because when I get to certain passages, that's how he's going to approach it. It's good to know their presuppositions, where they stand before you get into the book, so you know if I'm going to come up to a passage that is difficult, you know what slant he is going to take, because he's telling you where he's coming from. All right? So hearing it all out before you answer. Secondly, knowing their presuppositions. And then always the context, which they did not share, or maybe they did on the radio station. So Harrison is a Catholic. Harrison, the guy's Harrison Butker. And like Ben Shapiro said, I listened to his podcast because he critiqued it as well. And before May 5th, who knew of Harrison Butker from the Chiefs? Daniel did, and Corey, they must play fantasy football because he is a very good football. He's a place kicker. So that's way down on the totem pole in pro athletics. But he did kick a field goal that kept them in some game just this past year. Anyhow, most people had no idea who he was. But he was a Catholic speaking at a Catholic school, I'm assuming small Catholic school, made up of predominantly Catholic kids. All right? And I'm saying that because he addressed, the whole premise of his speech was traditional Catholic values. All right? And if you're not a Catholic, then don't listen to it if it offends you. I would not invite a Catholic to come to a Catholic school to talk to Catholic kids to speak to them about Buddhism. Correct? I would expect him to come talk about Catholic values. They probably rehearsed that before he talked. If you're going to come in, I want to know what you're talking about and what you're going to say, because if I'm president of that university, I'm responsible for the commencement speech. So if you don't like what traditional Catholic values are, then I would suggest you don't go to his commencement speech. And because he didn't say anything from my previous background in Catholicism that anybody should disagree with. As a matter of fact, I listened to a bishop's response to his speech, and he had nothing to criticize him about. So it was a Catholic school, Catholic college, Catholic kids. The first topic he addressed, and this is what irked me on the radio podcast, she said he basically ripped the current administration. No, he did not. He ripped the Catholics in the current administration. That's a big difference. And that's exactly the bone my dad has to pick with people, the bishops in Washington, D.C., or wherever Biden goes to church. How can he be pro-abortion and get up at a pro-abortion rally, make the sign of the cross, and not get any repercussions? Like my dad said, if he held that position at his parish, he would not be allowed to participate in communion. That's what Harrison Butker was coming from. He did not rip the entire administration. He ripped the Catholics in the administration for holding non-Catholic traditional views. And how come nothing's being done about it, is his point of view. And he ripped the COVID response by the Catholic Church. And he ripped the bishops and the priest. He said, you're more for adulation. You're more concerned with how your congregants respond to you than standing up and being a pillar in the faith. And the bishop who responded to that, the guy interviewed him saying, do you have anything to say about that? And he said, well, you know what? Maybe he was right. Maybe we do need to stand up and be more vocal. But his point during the COVID was this, and we'll get to the theology of more Catholic theology in a moment. But when you understand this about Catholicism, a Catholic will tell you he or she is saved by grace. But they don't mean what we mean. I love how somebody once said this. They use the same vocabulary, but a different dictionary. What they mean saved by grace is this. The sacraments impart grace. So in order to get grace, I have to participate in the sacraments. During COVID, Mr. Bishop, Mr. Priest, you shut down the church. Consequently, you shut down the avenue through which grace flows. People, and he basically amounted to this, you may have been the cause of some people going to hell or purgatory. Because if they needed that grace, they didn't have access to it because you shut down the churches. And nobody stood up and said, no, we're opening this church. People's eternal destiny depends on this. Now, we theologically, we don't believe that, correct? But if you do believe it, like they do, then he makes an excellent, excellent point. Their eternal destinies were at stake. Why? And he said, and the people making these decisions, I don't know all the people making those decisions, whoever, I didn't know who Dr. Fauci, I don't know what religion he is. He implied, you Catholics shut this down. And you, ought, of all people, ought to have known better. That's what I took from it. So he, initially, he spared nobody. He went after the bishops. The only one he didn't say anything about was the Pope, to my knowledge. And his point was well taken. If we're going to say as a body of believers, this is what we stand for, then we ought to stand for it. If we're not, then either we need to leave this church, the Catholic Church, or we need to change our doctrine. But we ought not have doctrine we're not going to adhere to. Nobody said any comments about that on their critiques. But a bishop did. And again, this is one bishop. I don't know how many bishops there are in the United States. I don't know how many bishops are in Kansas where this took place. But one bishop said he had no problem with how he addressed the bishops and the priests. Pretty much he was saying, you know what? If the shoe fits, we were wearing it. All right, any other comments, not to make this the Todd Grover show, who listened to the podcast on just the initial comments about the priest and the bishops? To add to that. Is that pretty much, would you say, an honest? So I know people at home listening can't see, but people are nodding their head, yes. Okay? So that was a fair assessment of how he spoke to the administration about leadership in the Catholic Church. Basically said to them, stand up and lead. All right. Then he went on. Oh, then he said, listen, before we take on the world, we should have our own house in order. And then this is probably also something that got everybody's feathers up in an uproar. He talked about we should have pride in how we behave ourselves. Not the pride that's celebrated once a month or once a year for a month. So, and I had forgotten this from my Catholic upbringing. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. What I mean by that, there are venial sins and there are mortal sins in Catholicism. Venial means if I die without me confessing that, I still am good. But if I've committed a mortal sin without going to the priest in confession, I'm done. It's not heaven. At best, I get purgatory. Pride, like what is celebrating beginning Saturday in America, that pride fits that category for a Catholic. And the bishop confirmed that. And that, so you can see that's when, so this is entirely counter-woke It's the opposite of woke. And that probably got people's antennas up right off the bat. That's where probably nobody was saying anything. Yeah, he's slamming the bishops and the priests. Probably nobody had their pen ready then. But once he started talking about pride, then I bet you the pens went full bore there. So he brought that up. And that's what he was talking about. Let's get ourselves back together, ourselves in order, so that we can take pride in our church and in our families. Not that kind of pride. Then he went on to talk about men. And he challenged the young men. Of course, I don't know how many young, old, middle-aged men were there. I'm assuming it was a graduation for a four-year degree. Most of those men, they're 20-ish. He's basically told them, don't forfeit your manhood. Be men. Exercise your masculinity. Society is trying to eradicate men in our society, as in we don't need you. And he said, you set the tone for culture. Do not succumb to the pressure that society is trying to place on men, that we don't need you and you're pointless and you're worthless. No, you're not. You're absolutely necessary, and don't shrug back from it. Don't shrink back from it. Don't be ashamed of it. Exercise your masculinity like God has ordained for you to do so. Don't be ashamed of it. And that was another irking point in the commentary on the Moody Radio. He split the men up from the women. He should have addressed them both at the same time. Well, you didn't listen to it. You would have understood why he was saying what he was saying. Because he was talking about traditional values in Catholicism. He wasn't talking about kumbaya, let's make everybody happy at the commencement speech. All right? He was going a little bit deeper and a little more challenging, and nothing that he said was off point. If I was still a Catholic and he came and spoke, there would have been nothing he said that would have been wrong. And many of the Catholics, I'm sure, are thinking what he said. I know my dad was. How do these priests these politicians who claim to be Catholic get away with mortal sins and you still let them go to church and participate in the sacraments? How's this happening? So anyway, he took on manhood. And he didn't say in any tone of voice that was degrading or anything like that. And then anybody want to add on anything I'm missing on how he addressed manhood? Is it fair summary that I've given, or want to add some more? Okay. Everybody, did you listen to it? Do you think it was fair? All right. Good. All right. Oh, then, and I wrote this down because many people don't know this. There is no Catholic birth control, and I don't think people realize that. In Catholicism, there is none, and there is none sanctioned. There is no such thing in traditional Catholic teaching as birth control. That's why good Catholic families have 20. Or the ones down the road from our house had 12. But that, and I thought, ooh. Now, we'll get into that when we get into the theology. Then he changed the topic to ladies. And I thought he did a great job. He said, some of you are, speaking of ladies, he also brought up Taylor Swift and, I've never heard of her songs. I don't know any of her songs. So I think he was trying to get a swipe at her, maybe. I don't know. And then, he brought up a movie. What was that? Alone? I Googled it. It was about two Catholic people who went to Japan to find an individual. And in the process of that, an individual, one of the two that went, lost his faith. And basically, somehow the movie has to deal with being quiet, keeping it to yourself, and such like that. And he said, that's what society wants you to do as a Christian or as a Catholic. They want you hidden, quiet, and basically keep your mouth shut. And we have somebody in our local school district who thinks the same way. I don't care if you go to church, but don't bring your church to the school board meeting. Wrong. My Christianity is me. If you can compartmentalize your Christianity to Sunday morning at your local congregation, well, that's you. That's not us. Christ is everything to us all the time, everywhere, every place. And what he says, we're going to speak. We're not compartmentalizing. I'm not a Christian in church, then a secularist once I step outside these doors. That is called a hypocrite. That is not called a genuine believer. But that is basically what he was saying. That's what they want. They want you just to be silent. And he's not. Then he brought up ladies. And he said, basically said, you know, some of you are can't wait for your jobs. He in my mind, he never belittled women. But you women ought to be the ones to make that decision. He's recognized that many of them had professional aspirations. But then he just shared, he did not say, as it was portrayed on the radio, all women. He said, my wife. My wife gave up her professional endeavors to embrace a title called homemaker. My wife. I'm not saying every woman. He said, my wife. And it could be, young ladies, that you've bought into the lie that society paints, and it does, that the only way you can be a true woman is to be a professional, independent lady. And if you're not, shame, shame on you. That's not what he said. He said, that's basically what society is telling you. It may be the thing that you most want is to be a wife and a mother. And you wouldn't dare say that. I mean, we went through this little exercise when we looked at trad wives, remember? Because when I looked at some of the opposing views, they were almost spewing venom. They would say on one side of their cheek, yeah, we don't care what they do, but on the other side of their cheek, yeah, but they're basically disgraceful women. They depending on men for their livelihood. That's not what he said. A lady, anatomically, is built to have babies. And by nature, not totally, but more so than a man, to nurture young kids. Most men do not do a good job at nurturing babies. As a rule, they're not bad at it, but it's not naturally something we tend to do all the time. Whereas more often than not, a lady does that. Okay? And that's basically, he was saying, and then he made this very heartfelt recognition. Listen, I'm where I am today because of my wife. And he's 28 years old. So he was not belittling. He did not, I mean, when I think belittle, I think of Archie Bunker, right? That's what I think belittling. Edith, or whatever he'd say. He would just rip her. He didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. And then this is another thing that really got my tail from the Christian radio station. Yeah, he makes $4 million a year. Sure, he can have his wife stay home. The rest of us, we can't do that. Nobody can. And I thought, hold on there, sister. Don't say nobody can. I have two in my family right now that the wives are not working, and they're making it. Is it tough? You better believe it is. But can you make it? Yeah. Don't sit there on that microphone and tell every young Christian girl, you've got to work. There's no way you and your husband can make it. No, 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 no. You can. All right? And I'm not blaming, I'm not condemning those who choose to work. That, because it's certainly obvious in the Bible, in Proverbs 31, that lady's working outside the home. And for the most part in American history and history in the world, the lady and the man had to work together on their farm. Okay, they're doing something together. But if they would choose to just stay at home, that's fantastic, and they can make it. Don't discourage them. You should have said, but if you are making it with a single income, more power to you. Recognize the effort and congratulate them. Just say, in our particular instance, we can't make it. And going out to these drive-through at fast food restaurants, I don't know how people make it. You're paying $25 to get a hamburger and a Coke. And then you go to the grocery store and you're like somebody said, I'm getting stronger. I can carry $100 worth of groceries out now with one hand. I get it. I get why your people need to. But don't get on the radio station and tell them it's impossible to make it by one. You can. So that irked my tail. That's the closest I've ever come to writing a note to a radio station and saying, you need to re-listen to that and rethink what you're saying. Now I understand why they got so much heat. All right. Any other comments on that? Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was wonderful.
Exactly. He understands what his wife has done. And same way with our family, I got the easy end of the deal. I got to go to the hospital. Terry had to stay home with the boys. And Terry and Abby but she was good. She was mostly over at a neighbor's house. But most men who really understand what's going on appreciate their wives and know what they did. He did not belittle her. Harrison did not do that. He respects her. Why anybody would get it, it's the culture. It's the culture and where they want to take it. So, yeah. So those of you listening at home, one of the individuals here brought up how moved they were when Harrison Butker was moved when he was talking about his wife and actually had to stop his commencement speech and gather himself back up. Corey, you had something?
Yeah. What did everyone do that I saw responding to it but get on and slam and trash him and also slam and condemn any woman who chooses that lifestyle on her own and completely invalidate that woman's choice to be that role? Every single one I saw. Specifically, I watched one young lady who made a video about a very impressive history that she had put together in a short amount of time as an adult, is in her mid-20s working for NASA studying weather patterns on Mars. I'm sure smarter than any of us in this room when it comes to the science aspect, right? But her ending point was, you kick a little football through two sticks, I am vastly intellectually superior than you. You have no valid point to speak. And it's like, I don't know if this is promoting fair and equitable conversation, right?
Yeah, it's fair and equitable when it's going the direction we want it, when it's not. And Ben Shapiro brought up a great point. Colin Kaepernick, or however you say it, from San Francisco, he dropped down on a knee and protested the national anthem, and he was made a millionaire, multimillionaire. Nike signed a deal for him. This guy talks about traditional values, and everybody wants to kick him out of the league. Yeah.
Well, I think it goes to prove that there is an agenda, and even though he's not a Christian, he's talking about biblical principles. And what's amazing to me is you can watch on the news, like for instance, an actress just came out today, said the greatest privilege she has is being a mom, and that's applauded. I've seen several of them on Fox News that have come out and said, I love being a mom, you know, but nobody gives them flack because of how they've done it. Yet he is saying the same thing, but because it's from a
male perspective,
what the world would call a Christian point of view.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say a man, a Christian point of view. Then it's attacked. If Taylor Swift came out tonight and said, I'm going to get married and have kids and do it this way, she'd be applauded and probably half of the 30-year-old single woman get married and start having kids that listen to her, because it's who's saying it. And I think that's the thing to understand is, no, he is not saved with Catholicism, but the principle he's applying is biblical. And therefore, that's where the spiritual warfare is coming in. People don't want to hear somebody talk about the Word of God, because at the end of the day, it comes down to this book.
Yeah. So
that's where he's drawing it from. He may not even recognize it. But that's what the Word of God has taught us from Genesis. And I think that's where you got to be. I think that was something that's very revealing, is how is it women that come out and say, this is the greatest privilege I have, and they get applauded. But a man says the same thing from his perspective, applauding his wife, and yet he's told he's the worst thing, and he needs to not even pursue his career anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's all the biblical.
Biblical principles, and who said it? He had every strike against him. He was a white male Christian. You don't say anything in this environment. If you do, you're going to get slammed. Or unless you're Taylor Swift's boyfriend, then you can chug a beer at your commencement address when you get your diploma, and everybody applauds you when you chug your beer in front of everybody and chuck the can.
Because he fits the stereotypical male today.
Yeah, a drunker. Yeah.
And that's the key, is this is who we want you to be versus this is what we don't want you to be. I think that's also the main thing.
Yeah. Any other comments before we get into some of the theology he talked about? Because this is very enlightening for people who want to know how to talk to a Catholic individual. He told you what they believe. Okay. I know I've tried to tell people, here's another individual, and the reason I'm so concerned is I've seen people converting, and some of the reasons they just don't understand. But before we go there, I wanted to make sure anybody else want to add anything before we get into the theology of the issue? When you listened to it the first time, did you think, oh, no wonder he's getting slammed? That's awful. Anybody here think that?
I thought it was admirable how passionate he was about it. Like, I thought he was more passionate than people in some Christian circles.
Yeah.
That we think, like, are actually like what we believe. I thought that was really cool. And he, even though he doesn't have all the correct theology, he did pull things from Scripture that I thought were very, like, to the point.
Yeah. Well, he did it admirably to the point. I mean, I don't know how old this bishop was, but he was like, yeah, I'm not going to condemn him. What he said was probably true, and most likely was. Us bishops and priests need to get it together.
And he didn't care either. Like, he pretty much openly said that. I'm pretty sure that he wasn't shy about saying stuff that people aren't comfortable hearing. Like,
yeah.
He was okay with saying it, and I wish more people would.
Yeah. He said, lean into your faith.
I think overall, he, like I said, I don't believe he's saved, but his character speaks volumes, because even the players' comments, they interviewed Patrick Mahomes, they interviewed Andy Reid, and both of them have said, we may not agree, but his character, who he is day in and day out, agrees with what he said. And I think that is just as much of a testimony of who he is. He wasn't just getting up because he had an opportunity, because he won a Super Bowl, to speak. This is who he was.
Yeah.
He's authentic. And I think also that helped him. And, you know, a lot of, yeah, I mean, you have some people were obviously against it, but many of the people in the organization have stood by him.
Yeah.
And have said, we may not agree, but we know who he is, and he's respectful. Even the owner's wife came out and said, I agree with what he said. And this is a woman who makes millions of dollars, and said, the greatest privilege of my life has been to be a mom and a wife. And so I think that also with that kind of brings clout. It's not just a guy getting up there saying something to say something.
Yeah.
He's living it. Even though I don't agree, I think he's close, but he's missed it without Christ. But at least he's backing up what he says. And I think that also is helps.
Yep. All right. So moving on to theology. What did you learn by listening to this on Catholic theology?
The sacrament thing.
The sacraments. Was there any doubt? He said, and I'm not suspecting or expecting everyone to have every word down. At one point in time, he said, you need to be in church, and he was for the traditional Latin Mass, TLM, okay, so that's what that is, and I don't care if the church, if your parish, because that's what they call the church in Catholicism, your parish is bad, the priest is bad, go there to participate in the sacraments. That's what he emphasized, your participation in the sacraments. In the TLM, get to a place that, well, that was a good point too, because a lot of evangelical Christians need to be thinking that. He said, when you plan on moving, go see if there's a good church there. And I'm like, yeah, make sure there's a good church there so that you can continue to grow. Everybody needs to hear that. But make sure they're the good church there. And if the church is, the parish is run down a little bit, don't worry about it. If the priest isn't the greatest, don't worry about that. Make sure you participate in the sacraments. All right? So, is that anywhere in your Bible emphasized?
The first part, yes.
But
the church.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So now you know. This is all the fluff, all the other things that are out there. It boils down to this. Are you saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Or are you saved by the sacraments? That's what it boils down to. It's that simple. So you don't need to know any more than that, because he succinctly, he knows what he believes. He knows what he believes, and he believes it. That's what it boils down to. He summed it up. So there shouldn't be any question when you, now, others may have other opinions, but what he basically said is what I was basically taught through from first grade on up through 21 years old. He's telling you that, now other Catholics may disagree with him, but that's basically what you're taught. Any questions on that?
Where do they draw that out of the Bible?
Where Jesus said, "Eat my," and John.
So he's talking about the literal body. Okay.
Yeah, and that's how Christ doesn't come into you by faith. He physically comes into you. He's physically in the wafer. And if you want him, for example, I was talking to an individual, if I sin, I have to go to confession, confess my sin, then I need to go to the Eucharist and get Christ back in me.
So you can, in essence, lose your salvation.
Yes. That's why purgatory is a good place to have available. Because I can get caught there.
That's why he was so upset when they shut down during COVID.
That's exactly why he was so upset when they shut down COVID. They're not getting Christ. We get Christ by faith. We believe at the moment of our salvation, the Spirit of the living God enters us and does never, ever depart. That's not how they believe. They believe that he enters you through the Eucharist, literally.
So, if you don't have the sacraments before you die, is it purgatory or hell? Do they even believe in a literal hell?
Yeah, they believe in hell.
But don't they think they can pray you out of purgatory?
But you can get into purgatory and you pray people out of purgatory. If I died and went to purgatory, I'm not getting out until I do my sentence. It's like jail. Whatever might remain that's not been taken care of. I don't know who decides how long you spend there. It must be God. And for example, if I think a relative is there, there are so many Hail Marys you can say and so many Our Fathers and acts of contrition that can get you out of there ahead of schedule. That's how that works. Probably the fact of the matter is, I would say the majority of probably average Catholics don't even know that.
So it's not even they don't have to pay anything, it's how many Hail Marys and prayers they pray.
It's time. Yeah. Try to get the loved one out. Or dedicate.
The Bible, you know?
No. I know purgatory is one of the extra books that they have, one of the wisdom books. But I don't know where they get the praying to get them out. You can have a mass said for a person, and that cuts so much time off of them, that sentence. There's all kinds of things you can do. Where they get it from, I have no idea. That's why when I read the Bible and then thought about what I knew, they conflicted. It's like the Bible's saying one thing, you're telling me another, one of you's lying. That's what it came down to. So I had to make a choice. Who was I going to listen to? A person or the Bible? And I chose the Bible. And that settled it. And for the Eucharist, Hebrews settled it for me when it says in Hebrews, Christ died once for all. It's done. He doesn't get sacrificed again. Oh, and that's something he brought up. You need to be participating in the sacrifice. Make sure you write that down. The sacrifice of the Mass. Why are you sacrificing Christ again? He said once for all. So why are you doing it again? I have no idea.
Well, that would make sense if he goes to a Latin church. He doesn't understand what they're saying anyways.
Well, you know what he's saying if you've been brought up in a Catholic church, in an English church. He's just saying the same thing. And you don't need to. It's repetition, 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 repetition. I'm quite certain if you started me off on some of the things, I could work you through the whole Mass saying the words. Because if you go every Sunday for 30 years, it's the same words over, 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 over again. to the point you have it memorized. So if the priest misses his lines, the whole congregation say, this is what you're supposed to say here. And that's probably why, too, some younger people get bored. Because it's the same old, same old. Be like in the Old Testament, go get my sheep. Every day we go get a sheep, we butcher it, we put it on the altar. Dad says some prayers, we go home. Tomorrow we wake up, Dad goes out to the flock, he picks up a sheep, we go over and slaughter it. He says a few prayers, we go home. Just suppose you did that 365 days a year for 70 years. It's what it is. So, and he's sincere about it. And you have to understand that. As much as sincere as I was. And then God opened my eyes, I believe, to see truth. That he did in fact die, but was once for all. And that you didn't have to wait and hope you had done enough to get heaven or at least purgatory. He paid it all. And those who have Christ have life, and those who don't have Christ don't have life. And he doesn't mean eating me in a wafer. Any other comments or questions on that? So overall, I mean, that's a great commencement speech to watch a couple of times for a multitude of reasons. And we need to be praying because they went after him because of, they would say, Christian faith. They're going to come after us all. And the speaker at the National Day of Prayer from Canada, that was his whole point. I mean, he was imprisoned 100 and some times for being a Christian. Solitary confinement for being a Christian. So we have our work cut out for us in our culture to shine our lights. And to encourage our, if this is the pressure our young ladies are facing, we need to encourage them. Because they're getting mocked for something we would say is their choice. And if they choose it, we need to stand behind them. All right, any other comments or questions?
I just think it's sad how the young ladies on a Christian radio station, we've become so secularized by the world that instead of just having a fair point of view and just listening and hearing somebody out, we've become so far to the other side even that young people that are going to impact other young people for years to come don't even have an open mind to what the Word of God says on a Christian radio station. You know, the fact that they came out and said what they said.
Well,
you can't do this. You can't make it anymore. I think it's just sad to think that that's the mindset now in our world, in America, I should say, not in the world, in America specifically. That you sell yourself to an ideology rather than trust the Lord and let him lead you in whatever path he leads you, how he leads you. I think that's just a very sad thing.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's a reflection of what's going on. And I'm thinking if they got the pushback that they did, that young lady won't do that again. But it does express what is going on in American Christianity among our younger believers.
I guess what I'm saying is we've traded the biblical worldview for...
I understand totally what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's sad. And so we need to understand what's going on with our young people, what obstacles they're facing, and be willing to address them. Because, yeah, I would say they would be above average in their... effort to live out their faith, that group, but that's what they're getting for pushback, to the point that this they've not accepted but acknowledged it to a great degree. Anybody else? Anything else? All right. Thank you for joining us at home. I hope you, if you haven't prayed today, make sure you get your prayer sheet out, those of you at home. Do not forget this Sunday, June the 2nd, or this Friday, 6:30, the ordination council will be meeting, and then we'll have an evening service. And then Sunday for our church in particular, we'll have a more formal ordination for Daniel, and that will begin at 10:40. So be here at 10:40. This is not going to be the normal church service announcements and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be totally different, oriented towards the ordination. If you come at 11 o'clock, you will have missed things. Okay? So you've been warned. It's starting at 10:40, and we're starting at 10:40 with jumping right into it. There's several things that need to be done. Lord willing, it won't take a full hour in 20 minutes, but it could. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it if it does, because there's a lot of things we need to do. Special music, so grateful for everybody. People reading things for us. It's going to be good. And so, which it should be. This doesn't happen every day in a church that you ordain somebody. We've got a couple of men ordained. We get to do another one, and we're going to celebrate it. It's a big deal, right? So if people can celebrate winning a softball tournament on Sunday, we can celebrate God calling somebody into the ministry. All right, so we'll see you, Lord willing, on Sunday as well. Thank you for joining us.